Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso. Our show today is packed with information for you on new relief funds to help those impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic. El Cajon has approved $1 million in relief funds for residents and businesses, plus local and national funds to help arts organizations and creative artists during the COVID crisis have been announced, and we'll have details. Also hear about local musicians in Jamul offering free concerts online to lift your spirits during stay-home orders. Federal stimulus checks are now being distributed under the CARES Act. Find out how to get yours, even if you didn't file tax returns lately, on today's show. SDG&E has some ratepayer relief programs during the COVID crisis. Out of Descanso, however, some residents are voicing anger at SDG&E for shutting off their power during the coronavirus stay-home orders when temperatures dipped to a chilly 42 degrees. We'll also have news about major car insurance companies lowering rates during the pandemic, plus hear about a relief fund to help undocumented immigrants, including many who are working in healthcare and other essential services. A judge halted a local church from holding Easter services due to the pandemic. County Parks and Recreation has some virtual activities to keep you entertained. And from Public News Service, hear about the Vote Safe Act introduced by California Senator Kamala Harris. A federal court has ruled that Cajon Valley Union School District trustee Jill Bartow's lawsuit against the district can move forward. But the district fired back with a restraining order claiming Bartow, an elected official, threatened an employee and refused to maintain social distancing during a food giveaway to students. However, a member of the district's personnel commission has come forward, who was there, and disputes the district's claim, saying Bartow did nothing wrong. So stay tuned for all of these stories and more on today's edition of the East County Magazine radio show, where East County matters. El Cajon's City Council on Tuesday unanimously voted to spend $1 million to support local residents, businesses, and the homeless during the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic crisis. The City Council approved a dozen programs to help the community, including providing residents assistance with utility bills and rent, delaying sewer bills through June, and eliminating late sewer fees all year, assisting seniors to access groceries, supporting food distribution, setting up a business resource website, reaching out to local businesses and waiving late business renewal fees, providing additional homeless shelter opportunities, transportation for homeless to access regional resources, motel vouchers, and safe parking programs for the homeless, providing free online recreation classes and discounted rec classes after the emergency declaration is over. During the council meeting, which was conducted online, City Manager Graham Mitchell said the help is offered because we know that a lot of our residents are experiencing unemployment or underemployment. He also voiced concern about the viability of Parkway Plaza, the regional shopping mall in El Cajon, which has been a major source of sales tax for the city. Now, the COVID-19 response initiative will be funded with the city's general fund revenues and with some money from the federal government CARES Act. That's Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act. Councilman Phil Ortiz, the deputy mayor, told East County Magazine that the city's fiscal responsibility has proven wise. When crisis happens, we don't need to panic or cut services, he says. We can go a step further and respond directly to help residents with real dollars and tangible services. And he notes that not many cities would be in a position to do this. Ortiz says he's proud of the council's historic action, adding, I'm seeing people in my district being pushed into poverty, food insecurity, loss of housing, and the council and city staff listened and swiftly acted. Reporting for East County Magazine from El Cajon, this is Miriam Raftery.
Welcome to East County Magazine's Arts and Music Spotlight.
Arts and cultural organizations across our region and our nation have been forced to shut down due to the COVID-19 crisis. That's eliminated major revenue sources for everything from small community theater groups to large organizations such as art museums, the San Diego Symphony, and opera. Many artists have been laid off and are struggling to make ends meet. Now, two funds have been established, one local and one national, to help struggling artists and arts organizations. Locally, the San Diego Arts Plus Culture Challenge Fund launched this week with $1.25 million in aid to help arts and culture nonprofits and creative individuals across San Diego County. Grant guidelines and applications will be available in late April at the San Diego Regional Arts and Culture Coalition at sandiegoracc.org. You can also donate to this fund, and again, that website is sandiegoracc.org. Funds include money from the City of San Diego as well as from the San Diego Regional Arts and Cultural Coalition, the San Diego Foundation, and some private donors. They hope to raise more money with a goal of $2 million in total relief funds. Mayor Kevin Faulkner, in a statement, says San Diego's once bustling arts and culture scene has been put on hold because of COVID-19, and that's left many of the artists and organizations that enrich our lives struggling to make ends meet like countless others right now. He adds, the value of arts and entertainment has never been higher as we all follow stay-at-home orders, and that's why we are launching this partnership to raise money and help local artists and nonprofits get through this crisis. Now, the second fund is a national one, offering grants now of up to $5,000 to creative artists who are facing dire financial emergencies due to COVID-19. These grants are available at artistrelief.org. Again, that's artistrelief.org. The funds are provided by a coalition of national arts grants makers. Grant applications opened April 8th. The first round of funding closes April 23rd, and several future rounds are also planned. The fund launched with $10 million, including $5 million in seed money from the Andrew Mellon Foundation, along with $5 million in contributions from an array of foundations across the United States. Organizers say they will continue to fundraise to help with the rapidly escalating needs of the country's artists over the next few months. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is Jonathan Getz with East County Magazine's Art and Music Report. Kim Civetta and her husband Andy, the owners of NRG Productions in Jamul, have long provided bands and musical entertainment for celebrities, including Jay Leno and Larry King, major charities, and corporate events. Now they are hosting free concerts online each Saturday night at 7 p.m. Quote, out of the goodness of our hearts to get everybody feeling connected because there's so much isolation and everyone's feeling pretty sad, Kim Civetta told East County Magazine. You can view their concerts live every Saturday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Kim Civetta's Facebook page. That's spelled for Kim, K-Y-M-M, and Civetta, C-I-V-E-T-T-A. You can also watch on the NRG Productions Facebook page. Their first concert in early April drew over 2,000 visitors, with many calling in to say how much they appreciated the musical entertainment during COVID-19 confinement at home. In addition to talented musical performers, each show also offers inspiring talks and helpful tips such as giving back to the community, a show which highlighted a woman making masks that she's given to protect police officers and nurses. A future show will feature yoga for children to help kids feel less anxious during stay-at-home orders under the pandemic. Kim and Andy are facing their own financial hardships due to having all of their concerts canceled for events ranging from weddings to corporate events. So far, they've been relying on faith to sustain them during these difficult times. But they hope to find community sponsors to support future concerts and help them continue to give back to homebound community members in need of music to lift their spirits.
The federal government has begun distributing stimulus funds to help Americans during the COVID-19 crisis under the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security, or CARES Act. People earning less than $75,000 are eligible to receive $1,200 in stimulus money. Couples earning less than $150,000 are eligible for $2,400, plus $500 for each child younger than 17. Your money should be direct deposited into your account immediately if you have a bank account on file with the IRS through past tax returns filed in 2018 or 2019, or if you receive Social Security payments or survivor benefits or other federal benefits via direct deposit. Now, if you filed tax returns but do not have direct deposit, you should receive a check in the next 3 or 4 weeks. Very important, if you did not file a tax return in 2018 or 2019, such as if you didn't earn enough money, you can go to irs.gov and file on the top link there for non-filers to receive your relief funds. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Miriam Raftery.
With the coronavirus pandemic causing financial hardships for many individuals and families in the region, San Diego Gas and Electric, or SDG&E, is encouraging those in need to apply online for bill discount programs, which can save them 30% or more off their monthly utility bills. SDG&E offers bill discount programs to support customers year-round. Many people who previously could not take advantage of these income-based programs may now be able to do so due to lost wages. Those who recently lost jobs, even if they are receiving unemployment benefits, may also be eligible. California Alternate Rates for Energy, or CARE, provides 30% or more discounts on monthly bills. Qualification is based on participation in certain public assistance programs or current household income. Family Electric Rate Assistance is a separate program for customers who don't qualify for CARE. This program provides income-qualified households of three or more with an 18% discount on their monthly electric bill. Starting in mid-March, SDG&E voluntarily began to suspend service disconnections due to non-payment. The disconnection moratorium will remain in place until further notice. At the same time, the company is urging customers who are struggling to pay their utility bill to call Customer Contact Center at 1-800-411-7343. To make payment arrangements, SDG&E is also temporarily waiving late payment fees for business customers whose finances have been devastated by the coronavirus. Visit sdgde.com/coronavirus for more information on these programs. In addition, the Low-Income Home Energy Assistance Program is a federally funded program to help low-income households with their energy bills. This program is administered by nonprofit agencies with funding available now to help residents with up to $1,000 on their energy bills. Additional funds are expected with the recent passage of the Federal Economic Stimulus Package. To learn more about this program, dial 211. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Mitchell Murphy.
SDG&E shut off power to 22 households in Descanso for 10 hours on April 14th to replace wood poles with steel poles for wildfire prevention. That action sparked anger among Descanso residents under county orders to stay home due to the COVID-19 pandemic, with some left in the cold despite medical conditions, working and teaching children at home. There were no shelters or any public spaces open, with temperatures dipping into the low 40s. SDG&E also mistakenly called many more homes that were not included in the shutoff, media spokesperson Zariah Griffin told East County Magazine, and that prompted a second round of late-night calls to correct the error. For those who did lose power, however, the outage put safety of medically vulnerable and elderly residents at risk, also causing major inconveniences for those working and teaching children at home. Griffin claimed that residents were notified in advance and that SDG&E worked closely with them to prepare for the outage. But ratepayers posting in the Descanso Neighbors Forum voiced strong dissatisfaction. Some said they never received any written notice, and even those that did say there was little they could do to prepare for being left with no heat, no internet or phone service for many of them, and no place to go. Making matters worse, the shutoff occurred on the first day that the area's school district launched its distance learning program for students. Several residents complained of losing food in freezers and other damage during prior planned outages, which have occurred often in Descanso when the utility shut down power during high winds to prevent wildfires. Residents who called SDG&E to complain about the planned outage, including some with elderly and disabled family members, say that the phone number they were referred to for the outage manager rang and rang with nobody answering. Some rural residents also object to the visual blight created by the new poles, which are much larger than the older wooden ones. But not everyone objected to the shutdown and pole replacement in Descanso. One resident noted that the infrastructure upgrades are intended to prevent outages of weeks or more if a major wildfire occurs. And he adds, "With great sacrifice comes great reward." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ in Descanso, this is Miriam Raftery.
Two car insurance giants, Allstate and American Family Insurance, have just announced they'll refund $800 million to the drivers they insure. The companies say the rebates are possible because people are driving so much less during the COVID-19 crisis, and thus collision claims have fallen off dramatically. Other companies say they may follow suit. Charles Bell with Consumer Reports says some drivers could get back as much as 15% of their premium each month.
When you buy an auto insurance premium, you're rated for the number of miles that you tell the auto insurance company you'll be driving that year. And if you're only driving 1/6 or 1/5 of the driving miles that you estimated, you could be due for a very substantial reduction.
He estimates if the pandemic drags on for many months, some drivers could get refunds of as much as $600 this year. Drivers will need to contact their insurance company and ask to be re-rated based on the new lower number of miles they're driving each month. Bell wants all car insurance companies to get on board with the rebates, but says some will need to be prodded.
But this is only going to happen if state insurance commissioners around the country get involved and encourage all the auto insurance companies to return the money to all of the drivers.
He adds people also have the right to contact their elected state insurance commissioners to push for action on this issue. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter.
Around the nation, some churches have defied stay-home orders to hold services. In San Diego, Abiding Place Ministries sought a restraining order to prevent the county from enforcing public health orders, arguing that the ban on gatherings violated church members' constitutional rights to religious freedom. But U.S. District Judge Cynthia Bichant ruled that the county has a right to reasonably restrict those rights during a public health emergency, such as the COVID-19 crisis. She quoted the U.S. Supreme Court in the Prince versus Massachusetts case, which states, "The right to practice religion freely does not include the right to expose the community to communicable disease." Across the U.S., several outbreaks of COVID-19 and many deaths have been tied to religious services. San Diego Sheriff's deputies previously visited the Abiding Place Ministries church 2 Sundays in a row due to violations of social distancing rules, court documents reveal. The church reportedly offered to provide social distancing on Easter by having members stay in vehicles in the church parking lot while listening to the services, but the county rejected that offer. County Public Health Officer Dr. Wilma Wooten wrote to the church, "Unfortunately, the spread of the coronavirus requires that we all make sacrifices," adding, "If the members of your congregation do not abide by my order, the sheriff will take actions necessary to enforce the order." The church can live stream its services online or broadcast them on radio, as many other local churches and other religious institutions have done during the stay-home orders necessitated by the pandemic. Pastor Mark Spitzbergen of Abiding Place Ministries posted on Facebook after the court's decision that he would cooperate with the ruling. Elsewhere, various measures have been used to halt religious services or hold those accountable who violate public health orders. Kentucky's governor stated that license plates of parishioners would be recorded at one church threatening to hold services on Easter, and that anyone attending would be forced to quarantine for 14 days. In Lodi, California, a landlord changed the locks on a church after a pastor announced plans to proceed with services earlier this month. Another church that threatened to defy stay-home orders found its insurance policy canceled. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Getz.
You are listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the desert to the sea.
Many undocumented workers in California are risking their lives serving others during the coronavirus pandemic, with jobs in healthcare, as caregivers, in the food industry, and more. Others have lost jobs due to shutdowns but are not eligible for stimulus funds. This week, Governor Gavin Newsom announced a $125 million disaster relief program for undocumented immigrant workers to help their families. The one-time aid of $500 per adult and up to $1,000 a household will be available for about 150,000 immigrants to apply starting in May. Money will be distributed through regional nonprofits. The funds include $75 million in state disaster relief funds and $50 million raised by grantmakers concerned with immigrants and refugees. That's a coalition of foundations focused on helping immigrants. The program is the first of its kind in the nation, according to Governor Newsom, who states, "California is the most diverse state in the nation. Our diversity makes us stronger and more resilient. Every Californian, including our undocumented neighbors and friends, should know that California is here to support them during this crisis," he says. The $75 million disaster relief fund will serve immigrants who need help offsetting costs associated with the new coronavirus, but who cannot apply for unemployment insurance and disaster relief because of their immigration status. Critics have objected to Newsom's offer of aid to people who are in the country illegally and who still have jobs. Supporters, however, note that many of those workers are facing added costs, such as childcare with schools closed, while parents in essential industries must continue working. Governor Newsom also announced that the state is taking steps to assure that all residents, regardless of immigration status, can receive testing and treatment for COVID-19 to help stop the spread and bring California closer to the day when businesses and schools can reopen. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
The County of San Diego's Department of Parks and Recreation, DPR, has launched a virtual recreation center. You can find it online at sdparks.org. This is your one-stop shop for tips and tales to help you pass the downtime caused by school closures, quarantines, and other county advisories. From virtual hikes to daily home fitness challenges, the site has both indoor and outdoor activities for adults and kids who are homebound. The sdparks.org site states, "While our standard rallying cry is to encourage people to spend more time outside, we understand that recent realities may not make that feasible. We're now poised to offer many of our incredible outdoor activities in an online environment or in a manner that supports social distancing." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Mitchell Murphy.
Voting rights groups are praising the Vote Safe Act of 2020, introduced in Congress on Thursday by California Senator Kamala Harris. The bill would set aside $5 billion to expand voting by mail and early voting ahead of the November presidential election. Dr. Matt Barreto with the UCLA Voting Rights Project says California already allows permanent, no-excuse absentee voting and early voting, so it isn't out of the question for other states.
Some of the more rural counties have already transitioned to 100% vote by mail and do automatically send out ballots to all voters. So we're already seeing that in parts of California.
President Donald Trump believes voting by mail would hurt GOP candidates, but a recent UCLA study shows that no party gains an advantage, and red states like Utah and Arizona have used mail-in ballots for years. In addition, the study found that the incidence of voter fraud is so minuscule as to make it a non-issue. The bill would also require all states to allow 20 days of early voting. Barreto points out that the COVID-19 crisis had made it unsafe for voters to wait in long lines, crowd into polling places, and touch voting machines used by hundreds of other people.
The more options we give, that means that there's less people that have to go to the polls on election day and risk their health.
He notes that making voting more convenient is especially helpful to low-income voters who may not be able to take time off work to wait in voting lines. Senator Harris's bill would also provide grants for states to explore ways to allow curbside voting, to share wait times at polling places, and to make elections more accessible for voters with disabilities. Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Foundation of New York. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter.
This is Jonathan Goetz with an education report. A federal judge has refused to dismiss a lawsuit filed against the Cajon Valley Union School District by trustee Jill Bartow. Bartow has claimed that the district, the superintendent, and other board members violated her civil rights and free speech rights. The district had sought to have the case dismissed by claiming sovereign immunity under the 11th Amendment in the Constitution, which protects government entities against certain types of lawsuits. But Judge William Hayes with the U.S. Southern California District Court found that Bartow's allegations were sufficient to show that the district has final policymaking authority over the alleged actions. The suit, filed by San Diego attorneys Micah Gary and Maria Severson, alleges that since Bartow was re-elected to her seat in November 2018, she has experienced retaliation after she actively questioned Superintendent David Miyashiro's use of district funds, his travel expenses, and other district spending authorized by the board. The suit also alleges that the school board members acted in a retaliatory manner by canceling Bartow's district expense debit card, not allowing her to attend board meetings and conferences, requiring her to obtain board approval to make district site visits, banning her from being on district property, and preventing her from setting agendas, a task normally rotated among the board members. The complaint also alleges that the district tried to coerce her to sign a resignation letter when she complained of their retaliation. The district filed a countersuit against Bartow, alleging misconduct towards district employees and other accusations. Shortly after the lawsuit was initially filed by Bartow, she wrote a short email to her family and friends saying she had been blocked in her efforts to seek accountability and transparency, adding that she filed the lawsuit, quote, to protect my rights to serve my community.
Right after a federal judge ruled that Cajon Valley Union School District trustee Jill Bartow's lawsuit, alleging violation of her civil rights and First Amendment rights, could move forward in federal court, the school district filed for a temporary restraining order against her in state superior court. The injunction prohibits Bartow from being present at school food distribution sites at schools, while the district's providing meal services to its 17,000 students as schools are shut down due to the COVID crisis. The district claims that Bartow failed to maintain social distancing at a recent food distribution event and further claims she made a credible threat of violence against an employee, Assistant Superintendent Michelle Hayes. However, Tim McKay, a member of the district's personnel commission who was at that food distribution event, disputes the district's claim. McKay told East County Magazine there was no harassment by Mrs. Bartow to anyone there at the school site or the people driving up with their children to get food. All of us there were keeping social distance 6 feet or more, smiling at all, and just happy to be able to help, he added. Michelle Hayes did not respond to our email requesting information on anybody who might back up her claim. Bartow's attorneys have submitted a Public Records Act request seeking that same information. A hearing has been scheduled for April 30th in San Diego Superior Court on whether to make that temporary restraining order against Bartow permanent. The temporary restraining order does not specify whether Bartow can continue her elected role as a school board member. Now, this could run afoul of the federal judge's order, which specifically prohibited the school board and district from interfering with Bartow's mandate as an elected board member. Bartow's attorney, Maria Severson, says it is most unfortunate that the district has used the COVID-19 pandemic as an alleged basis for its abusive litigation tactics. Mrs. Bartow is being punished for her selfless service to the students and families in the school district, her attorney concludes. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine radio show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technician, Jonathan Getz, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia, and the Smashing Beats. Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jewel, Brian Boyko, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road, Blues 3 Music, and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine radio show, or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine radio show.
You are listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the desert to the sea.
Welcome to the East County Magazine live radio show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.